Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Pet friends, welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I'm your host with mythical levels of charm, no deep water required. It's Nessie, and you know our co-host,
Echo. Hello.
We have a very special guest with us today. I'm so excited to introduce him. He is the esteemed Dr. Adam Christman. He received his Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine in 2004. And his MBA from Aspen University in 2008. He practiced small animal and shelter medicine full-time for 18 years, and he's now doing continuing education for veterinary professionals, where he's the chief veterinary officer for DVM 360, the nation's leader in veterinary multimedia. You've seen his funny and educational videos on social media with over 2 million followers across his social channels. Dr. Christman is regularly featured in Good Morning America as their pet expert and has been seen on Fox Weather. He's the co-author of Honey, Have You Squeezed the Dachshund, a pet owner's guide to those terrified of IVDD. And let's not forget, he's the proud dog dad of four adorable dachshunds. Dr. Christman believes in inspiring future generations to love animals and the profession of veterinary medicine because no one should be deprived of sacred human-animal bond. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, lady. So good to be here.
I was like, I cannot wait for Dr. Adam on.
Well, you know, I love doing this one. When we get to share our common thread and our love for animals and pet parenting, it's a home run. So I said, sign me up.
I think one thing that people don't understand is when you have a puppy as a 20-year-old, it's a little bit different than when you get a puppy at 40. You forget the uptake that's involved.
Yeah. You're right. And you know what happens? There's a little word called patience that tends to go by the wayside as you get older, right? And I'm recognizing that now, too, as I've gotten older. I was like, oh, gosh, you know, when you're an older pet parent, many of you out there listening can probably appreciate that. You think you got it. And then you're really realizing trying to tame like a puppy that's doing the zoomies and training and all that stuff. And it could be too hot or too cold outside. And it's just it could be a little much, but it's worth it.
Out of Florida, the answer is usually too hot.
That's my figure.
So we wanted to talk to our pet parents today about some of the important pitfalls they can avoid when they do get a new pet. And I think we should start with the preparation before you even bring the pet home.
Yes. It's the biggest word there is, prepare, prepare, prepare. And, you know, there's, believe it or not, almost half of pet parents in this country do not have a veterinarian relationship. You know, so when you're preparing, the number one thing that I want you all out there to do is have a veterinarian. Prepare ahead of time, interview them. You know, this is something that should be mutual ends on the leash or cat carrier for those out there. You want it to be a good relationship. And what I find is, you know, what are some things that you're looking for in a veterinarian? I get asked that often too, is the fact that bedside manner is number one, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Bedside manner, without a doubt, you have to have a vibe with your veterinarian. You really do. And if not, find another veterinarian who vibes with you. You could probably throw a rock to many of them where you are, and you want to make sure that you're comfortable. So that's so important. They're obviously going to take good care of your pet. And then maybe some other things that you're looking for is if they're fear-free certified, if they provide like extended consultation for the first-time adoption. Any of those kinds of things are important. So that's number one. Number two is also working and finding a trainer and a groomer. I think it's so important to establish those three relationships. I call it the pet parent triangle. So veterinarian, groomer, trainer slash doggy daycare. So having those three really would be helpful, and getting them used to it early. Like, for example, I have those wire hair dachshunds, and as soon as I got them, I brought them in for just because visits, so they can get used to getting their paws played with a little bit when they're getting cut, you know, the getting used to the clipper sounds. You won't believe it, to my friends out there tuning in, but it goes a long way preparing for those three.
Yeah. Can believe then. Yeah. I think a lot of people don't think about the groomer until they're gonna, you know, need their first haircut. And then by that point, the pet's matted and they don't want to be on the table getting brushed out for the first time.
Exactly right. And listen to the groomer too, because sometimes they have to get groomed every 6 to 8 weeks, like my guys do. And if you go off that schedule, then you're kind of screwed. Know what you're signing up for. So those are like those components. And then the other things is when you're bringing them home, puppy proofing your house, making sure that you have a lot of those toxic things away. Like if you're going to have grapes or raisins, make sure you know that they shouldn't have grapes and raisins and far, far away. And also cabinetry, look at any of those cords and baby gates and crates and crate training. All those things are important because dogs use their nose and their mouth to touch. That's what they do. So, and they're going to get into things, whether it be a Lego or clothes and any of those. So make sure you get low on the ground and see what are some possibilities of, you know, if they do this, then they can get into that. So I really want to prepare ahead of time. The other thing that I will say is making sure that they are microchipped. That microchip is truly a social security number to your dog or cat that registers specifically to you. And should you change ownership or moving, you want to make sure that stays up to date. But that microchip, I love the ones that are hanging from the collars. I think it's great. The Bluetooth that has the GPS tracking device. Excellent. Bravo. But remember, those have to be on and they have to be charged. So it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear that?
Yes, very much. Have you heard of those microchips that you can now scan and they tell you the dog's temperature that are coming out?
Okay. The eggs are ready. I think that is definitely a really cool thing that they have out there. They're actually coming out with another microchip. I don't know if it's the same company, but you're going to have your pet's medical records and vaccine reminders all stored on. I'll take a dozen of those eggs, Echo, because we all know where that goes this day and age. Like those does great.
Yes.
Right.
She's my egg connect right now.
Perfect.
All right, you guys. Yeah. Are we ready to start with our first review?
I'm ready.
For the names of any TV dachshund characters. So our reviews are going to be by TV dachshunds. And the products I looked into are stuff that dachshund fans usually get, like dachshund lover type things. So I got some pretty crazy things on here. So our first review today is going to be from Echo.
This one's going to be from Snickers from the TV show Bluey.
It's cute.
Myself. I have not watched Bluey.
I love Bluey. I don't watch it myself. I do want to just say, I have nieces.
Is for the book called The Halloweener.
No, The Halloween. Okay, got it.
It is a 3-star rating. Snickers said, now y'all, this book's premise is wild. It's silly book kids would like to read around Halloween. Poor Oscar Mayer wiener dogs. A hot dog in parentheses. Gets teased all the time. The bully dogs are all laughing at him because of his size and shapes for Halloween. Oscar's mom buys him a costume that is a hot dog roll with mustard on it. Oscar is so embarrassed, but wears it to avoid hurting his mother's feelings. He gets laughed at once again, but the story twists to allow Oscar a chance to be the hero. He wins the respect of the bullies, and they all share their Halloween dog treats with him. It's a silly story, but it has decent illustration. So my problem with this book is this dog is getting bullied by the other dogs, right? Mom dog's answer is to send them to school dressed in a hot dog bun with mustard. So if you weren't going to actually make it even worse on who, send your wiener dog to school dressed like mustard.
Sounds about right, you know? I'm telling you, yeah, we dress up our dachshunds so much. You know, we have a Halloween parade that we do up here in New Jersey, and they're either salt and pepper shakers, ketchup and relish, and mustard. So, sounds about right.
The fact is, her solution was like, this will make the kids stop making fun of you at school, buddy. You know, they're taking on a lot of deep like that. The good news is, though, I did look into a few of the pages of the book, and it's actually pretty cute. He saves his friends that are chased by this pumpkin ghost. And his description in the first page of the book is, there was a dog named Oscar who was half a dog tall and 1.5 dogs long.
That's cute. Sounds about right, too, with dachshunds. Yeah.
I guess that would be how you described yours.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have a measuring tape that goes like on the wall. It goes by the length, because we have like the miniature dachshunds and then we have the standard. So like, you know, it's like you go to Costco to get the big dachshund. So that's where Capone comes from. Yeah.
Is Capone your biggest of them?
Yeah. Yeah. He's 30 pounds. Yeah. He's like the standard. I know. The standards range between 25 to 34 pounds or so. So yeah. So he's.
Oh, I had no idea.
No, he's huge.
Yeah. That's funny. What do you think about having a preparation plan, an emergency prepare plan for if something happens to your pet?
I mean, listen, like we've all have been through something around the country, whether it be through fires, natural disasters, for whatever reason, you just don't know. So having a preparedness kit is so important. I like to have as much as pets' medical records are important, I would just say like the most up-to-date records is really what you need. Just in case. And I would also add putting that in Ziploc bags, because just in case there's any rain issues or whatever that may be, put that inside some sort of a case material that you have, in addition to having a first aid kit. Now, there's a lot of places that offer a first aid kit for dogs and cats, or you can even make one yourself. I did a video where I went to the Dollar Tree and I did one for under $14. Just kind of the basics that you need. Remember, always find your local veterinarian's number just in case, poison control number, and also the emergency hospital within your vicinity. Like that's kind of like the best three places to look for resources. Make sure that you have them just in case. Again, absolutely making sure you have their medical records, that you're the true owner of a dog or cat. I can't begin to tell you, when we had Hurricane Katrina hit us, that they were all over the place and people were saying, well, this is my dog, but they didn't have proof that this was their dog. And unfortunately, some people took advantage of that because they did take people's dogs and were claiming ownership of them. And remember, pets are considered property. So it's a big thing to make sure you show proof that this is who your dog. So have an up-to-date picture on your phone. Also keep one printed out in there as well, because you'd be surprised that you might need to show that that's your dog or cat, that heaven forbid if it went missing, you have a picture already done.
I never thought about that. That's actually really good advice. I think a lot of us are obsessed with taking pictures of our pets, too. So I saw plenty on my phone. My black dog, Attila, he's usually asleep in all of them because that's his favorite thing to do. He's a lab. He's about 10 years old. It's his thing. And my girl lab, Zena, she's always just going to be like stood up staring at you deadpan. You wonder if there's anybody home sometimes, you know? Probably not with that one left her. It's not her fault. How about insurance? Is that something that you want to have in case of an emergency?
Do you speak my language?
Yeah, boy.
This is my jank. This is what I talk about. So yes, it's a 100% yes to it, you know, with a corollary to it, if you can, within your means, right? So I never want anybody to be a pet insurance shamed that they don't have it because of whatever reason. So if you can get it, yes, you're going to look for things that you want to first try to get pet insurance now before they become older. And the reason why, and a lot of pet owners, believe it or not, don't know this about pre-existing conditions. If I was to do a dental cleaning on your dog and I diagnose periodontal disease on your four-year-old dog, and now you decide to go get pet insurance, it's not going to be covered because that's considered a pre-existing condition, just like it is in human side. And so the amount of deductible that you may have, which a deductible is the amount of money that you would have to hit before pet insurance kicks in. And if there's are certain predispositions, it's going to make your deductible go higher, meaning more per month. With pet insurance, those are some things to keep in mind. So you want to make sure you get it early. The price does vary on three different factors. One is the state that you reside in. Two is the age of your pet. And three is the breed or what they're mixed with. And so those are going to put that into a system to see. If you have a French bulldog, I know they're adorable, but guess what, dog parents? You're going to have a high premium because they are very prone to a lot of things, you know? And this is where I really want to work with mainstream media more and more to help educate that, because some people just don't know what they're signing up for. Some people say, I wish I had pet insurance, or maybe I really shouldn't have had this breed because it's expensive or it's expensive to have pet insurance. Like, I have insurance for my dachshunds and I'm a veterinarian. And, you know, it is pricey because they're prone to back disease or intervertebral disc disease. So, yes. So, absolutely to pet insurance. I like to remove that from the equation when we're talking about, you know, instances, because you want to practice good medicine without having to have that financial instability. So that really does help. The reimbursement model is for most of the pet insurance companies out there, except for one, that is, you can pay up at front or, you know, don't have to pay when you're up front. So do the homework, chat with your veterinarian about what works for you, because certain practices also have wellness plans or wellness packages. In other words, you may not need to get the pet insurance for just wellness and sick. You might just want to get pet insurance for that component, just accidental sick component, because your vet hospital offers, say, a wellness bundle that may include a dental cleaning with a spay neuter and their vaccinations and prevention. So you might be good on that angle there. So consider pet insurance. I strongly recommend it. Their Pet Advisor is a great website that's non-partisan. You can really type in the information that you're looking for and see what pet insurance company works well for you. And I do recommend that pet owners go to that website to just get an idea of what you're looking for in terms of price.
That's wonderful advice. I know a lot of people in the field, even though they work for a veterinarian or are a veterinarian, do still get the pet insurance, just because even as an employee, it can be expensive, especially when you have to have that exploratory surgery you weren't expecting because your Labrador, which I have, got into something they shouldn't have. Echo has a lot of experience with her dogs eating food they shouldn't have gotten a hold of. And that's, So in those instances, you like to have that little bit of buffer of the insurance, because, gosh, no one just has that sitting around.
Right. The average pet parent has in their checking account $1,000 of liquid. So, you know, when we offer an estimate of just even blood work and, you know, vaccines, you're looking at, that could be over $1,000 right there. And we're not even talking about this, like, to your point about exploratories or getting into something that's toxic. You know, you're looking at several thousands of dollars. A back surgery is easily a $15,000 procedure up by us in the Northeast with rehabilitation. So, yeah, $15,000 right there. And so, you know, and I know some, and to the pet owners tuning in, I need you to understand something, though. Please, please, please understand this. There is a value behind the why of what we're providing services for. I don't want us to negotiate and nickel and dime the veterinarians. This is healthcare. Healthcare is expensive. It's expensive on the human side as it is on the veterinary side. And in order for them to pay their staff well and to keep the lights on and provide good medicine, those are the prices that we're currently dealing with in the environment. And there are different opportunities and more affordable options out there in veterinary medicine for certain practices, which I love. But I definitely don't want people to go onto social media, bash their veterinarian, and be like, oh, they're price gouging me, because I've been in this field since I've been 14 years of age. And
wow.
I'm a little older now. And I'll tell you, I've never been in a practice where they are overcharging for anything. I see good medicine at its finest when I travel around the country.
I think what is a lot of pet parents don't realize is they don't make cheaper versions of equipment for the veterinarian. It's the same grade things that are in a human hospital. So the veterinarians are having to pay the same price a hospital pays. The difference is they don't have the big company insurances and things that I guess are help covering those machines. So,
yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, you look at even things from the kennels itself and the surgery tables and exactly your point, CT and MRI, they're the same machines that we use on the human side, and they cost a hefty penny there. So yeah, it's definitely, unfortunately, I don't want to say it carries on to the cost of the client, because we do a lot of things to help maintain and, you know, do good medicine, but there is going to be a price associated with those things.
I have another review for us. Good, do you have a name for us?
This is going to be from Pretzel, who is from the Curious George franchise, from a show called Pretzel and Pot.
Hot one, huh?
Whew, seems like every dog in Montgomery is a hot dog today.
Okay. Pretzel left us a 5-star review, so she's very excited about this product, and I can't wait to share with you. It is on Amazon, and it is a candle called Dachshund Fart.
Oh my God, I had that candle.
It worked from the dachshund fart. Pretzel said.
Wait, point of clarification. It is for dachshund farts, or it's supposed to smell like?
Underneath it says, just kidding, it's lavender.
Okay.
I think it should cover them. So, Pretzel said, friend loved the candle, and she shared how true it is that dachshund farts a lot. LOL, it comes in handy for sure.
Yeah. I mean, have we all been crop dusted by our dogs? Right?
I had to yell at her daily.
Dogs.
Mine are very noisy.
Right? Noisy.
I try to blame it on them too, but then they were.
I was in a room once with Dr. Mowdy. She's one of the doctors at our clinic. And we were dealing with a dog that had stress colitis and sometimes gets a little gassy in the room. And she was audibly having gas in the room. The woman owner said, blame it on your dad. No one will know the difference. And so said, it happened again. And I was like, sir, could you not? That's enough. And he was like, I'm sorry, I have stress colitis. And the doctor was in the room too. So she just kind of flossed at that point too. I mean, it was all in good fun. As long as everyone's on the same page, you can make a group.
Yeah, I mean, flatulence happens. So if you're a living, breathing creature, you're gonna, you know, it's, I think with dogs, it's a little excessive on some of them.
I've been needing a title for the episode. Sometimes they just come to me while we're chit-chatting.
Can we name the episode that flatulence happens?
That's a wonderful name. It does happen. Every time my dog get up and down off the couch now, they let a little tune out. And so we ask. And my boy dog, Attila, he leaves the back legs on the couch while he's getting down and throws a little stretch in. So really, carries it on for longer than he
Sam, who's my shepherd, she has just started, just making these real audible toots. And I don't know how she does it because she doesn't really have cheeks, but she doesn't know where it comes from. So she keeps doing it. And then she looks at her butt like, where'd that come from? That's very funny.
I love it.
I like that you think that you have to have cheeks for it to be audible.
Well, she got the snort going. Yep.
Our fun topic is
three things people are very passionate about: politics, religion, and pet food. So that's
pretty good.
So as long as they're hungry, you just feed them, right? With that old Mardi Gras cup, you caught it at the parade, the one like this one cup.
Right, right. Yes. It's in this day and age, too, we always say we should be having measuring cups, of course. You know, measure whatever and whatever food that is, okay? So either you're weighing their food or you're measuring the food, because depending on the type. And another thing, I got something to say to some fellow pet parents out there, is let's not kibble shame or raw food shame or whole food shame. Life is too short. Why are we arguing over something like this? The food is balanced and complete. Everyone's just trying to do the best thing for their dogs and cats. Period. End of story. A lot of great research that's out there on all those different three things that I just mentioned. Okay. So if you're doing kibble, measure it. Same thing for canned food, because canned food is higher in caloric intake as well as fat content. So make sure you figure that out. Now, when you're looking at your spayed and neutered animals, their dietary requirements are going to be different than those that are intact. The intact animals may need a little bit more caloric intake. And in fact, that's something that you should be chatting with your veterinarian about on that component. And balanced and complete, those are the two words that I need you all to remember, is balanced and complete. So whatever food that you're doing, whether, like I said, if you're doing fresh, frozen, raw food, if you're doing home cooked, make sure it is balanced and complete, because doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, it doesn't work. And we're missing out a lot of these different nutrient deficiencies, metabolic deficiencies, and our animals go through life stages from puppyhood to adulthood to seniors. And the wants and needs as our pets age are very vast and different as they continue to grow through their journey of life. And we want to make sure we support them. Nutrition is truly the nucleus of everything. It's the foundation of good health. There's a lot of great science, as we all now know, with the microbiome. We're talking about probiotics a lot. And yes, we should be giving our pets probiotics to feed the gut and feed the nutrition to make sure we're maximizing and utilizing those resources efficiently and effectively. There's a website that I can always refer parents to for home-cooked diets. Balanceit.com is a really good one. And then anything through the American College of Veterinary Nutrition. So underneath, there's a college called the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine. Recently, they acquired the Nutrition College. And on that website, they have a whole boatload of great resources for pet owners to learn about pet nutrition.
I love Balance It. Our doctors also send a lot of our people who are interested in those homemade diets there.
Oh, good. Veterinarypartner.com is another good website, too. It's completely free, and it's got lots of great information that's on there, right? Because I'd like for them to be vetted by veterinarians. A problem that's happening now, I just saw something come across my desk this morning, is companies are using AI-generated veterinarians, which is, I can't believe I'm saying that, right, in one sentence. And it's not true. It's not real stuff. They're making it look like it's a veterinarian is recommending certain supplements, when in fact, no veterinarian would be recommending what I'm seeing come across on social media. So please, when in doubt, call your veterinarian. Call a real veterinarian that you're speaking to verify before you add to cart. A lot of them are supplements, pet food supplements, that they're saying that this works great. This helps clean teeth. No dentistry is required. One is like for eye health or whatever. It has no claim, no scientific backing to say like this will take care of cataracts in dogs. So unfortunately, a lot of misinformation is out there that we have to kind of siphon through. As all three of us work in the veterinary space, it kind of makes our jobs a little bit harder, but not impossible.
Yeah.
I saw it on Facebook, so.
It's got to be true. Yeah.
When you were talking about nutrition, something about microbiome, I just didn't know what that meant.
Oh, yeah, no worries. So a lot of the research now is the microbiome is the good, healthy bacteria that supports the gut for immune support, dermatologic, and other issues that we see. And so when we talk about feeding that gut, which is, you know, obviously in all of our intestinal tracts, we want to make sure we're giving good probiotics. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to minimize the amount of use of inappropriate use of antibiotics. And so we see a lot of antimicrobial resistance. So when we're using the microbiome and understanding it for dogs that have atopic dermatitis or really bad allergies, we're realizing, my gosh, we need to be giving them good probiotics to help that microbiome out, to put out and pump out good stuff for their skin barrier, for instance, and other issues too. That's what we're seeing a lot of. You know, in antibiotic use, when we're talking about that, we want to match the bug to the drug. You know, we don't want to just throw amoxicillin or cepodioxime at a dog when we don't know really what's going on, especially in ears. This is how we create these super bugs that can happen. So to the pet parents tuning in that has a dog or a cat with simple diarrhea and your veterinarian sends you home with probiotics, you get mad that you don't have an antibiotic. That's the reason why, is because we're living in a time where we have these super bugs that are going on, and we're seeing great research that's being done just with a dietary change in probiotics.
Got it. Thank you for explaining.
All right, you guys, it's time for our next review. Who is this one from?
This one is from Dashie from Lady and the Tramp.
Hey, Doxie, how we coming?
Just one more course under our...
The pound that's digging all the holes. So these are dachshund-shaped ice cubes.
Oh, I have the tray.
Oh, that's so cute.
Do you have a review for us on them?
Yeah, I can tell you. They're great. You know, they break a little easily, but they're ice cubes, you know? So they're really cute. So it's so wienerful. It really is.
Can we just use that in conversation now? How are you? I'm wiener.
Wienerful. Right. Falling with a wiggle butt.
Just assumed that you were going to have all of the dachshund products that I looked in.
Yeah. Wait, I'll show you one that I have right here that's in arm's reach, actually. Look how cute my pen is. I mean, really. It's a stylus.
It's kind of bad. Of course, you know.
I have a 4-star review on this product from Dahi.
Better than a 4-star, so it's a good one.
Okay. So Dahi said, these ice cubes are adorable, but they're very hard to fill up the whole thing. So a lot of the dogs come out half or missing a head and back end. I don't know what the difference between half and head and back end is. That feels like...
Yeah, kind of crumble because they're hard to like get out of the mold or whatever, you know? So my suggestion to her would be, she's got to get the dachshund cake pan, because I have that. That's one, and it worked way easier, so.
Yeah. Do you have dachshund cake as well?
You search out like dachshund themed things, or are these like gifts that people get you because they know how much you love the breed?
They're gifts that I get from over the years. I mean, I have so many things that people given me, and I know where it's a podcast, but I mean, it's just constantly going. Like, this is a dachshund. The whole album right shoulder is Pablo Picasso had a dachshund, which I didn't know. All those different things that I have. So yeah, I mean, and I love that. I get tagged on a lot of things. I mean, that's when they know people love you because they're thinking of you and send you these things, and I love it.
I Googled dachshund just to, in like Amazon and in Temu just to review like any of the dachshund products for this episode. So yeah, and it's like I got this from a dachshund friend.
Yeah. I mean, you go down this dachshund hole, like not a rabbit hole, it's a dachshund hole. And there's just so many things that are there.
There is. It's crazy, the things that I found. So the idea of the ice cube is cute. But as a child, if you handed me a headless dachshund, I might have been
a little bit, it would have been a bad experience as a child. But I think a pitcher of lemonade with a bunch of little dachshunds like floating in it would be fun.
Yeah, it's so cute. Makes your drink that much more fun.
Little extra wiener light. That's weird. That was a weird thing to say.
It's not. You know, it's what we do. Oh, look at my Cricut notes. Post-it notes, too. Again, this is just all arms. I know.
Those are so cute.
I would challenge myself to try and fit something onto those boxing legs.
I could put
the trip net. Your message goes down the tube of the dachshund. That's wild.
Okay, pet friends. I know we are having a blast learning with Dr. Chrisman, but we need to take a quick break here. Come back soon for more fun conversation.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. I am so excited that you came back. Let's dive back in.
How about we talk about signs of discomfort or illness in pets? Things sure. People can be looking for.
Yeah. So our pets are very notorious for masking clinical signs because, remember, they do not want to show signs of weakness because they have that predatory feeling, of course, because otherwise they'd be, you know, deemed as prey. So with that being said, some of the common signs, our big one for you all to know is not eating, inappetence. So that could be a sign of them showing signs of pain. And then hiding and doing behavioral changes that they haven't done before. So if they're sleeping in a different location, they used to be sleeping in the bed next to you or in the bed with you, and all of a sudden they're not, red flag, you know? So I give pet owners three red flags that you have that something is up. Appetite is one. Yeah. These are the three red flags that you should have when your dog or cat may be in pain. Appetite is one. Changes in behavior is two. And then the other one is they literally are noticeably making noises too, like wincing noises or vocalization. That could be three. So that means that something really is hurting them, whether it be abdominal pain, tooth pain. Sometimes they can obviously broken leg. Those things can really be audible when you think, oh, they're just whimpering because that's what they want. They want to treat. Now, they might be hurting, you know, so if any of those three red flags are an indicator, and there's other things that can happen, of course, that can show signs of pain too, like not drinking their water or the fact that they don't want to go outside to do number one, number two, because it hurts to lift their leg or it hurts to squat, you know, more than, what was the statistic I just read over the weekend? I got to give a shout out to Dr. Kristen Kirkby-Shaw. She's a boarded orthopedic surgeon, and she had a statistic that was 90% of cats at the age of 10 or higher have osteoarthritis. So 90%.
That was one of the facts that are mobile issues.
Oh, really? Yeah, it must have been from her article.
Yeah. And so, like, that's like a really big number that people don't realize, that like cats experience OA. And even earlier on, so she had a statistic about like 4 to 5 years of age too. There's a number of cats that have that. And so, and they don't display signs like dogs do, where they're necessarily limping or whatnot. But radiographically, if we take some x-rays, we might be able to see those things. But yeah, so those are some things to really keep in mind, that they might be experiencing pain. And what do we do about it? Well, listen, it's a great time to address pain management in veterinary medicine, because finally we have multimodal approaches about things. So we have what we call the pharmacologic side of things, where we can get them on a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory with some other wonderful meds that are out there. We have injectables that are very specific for anti-tumor nerve growth factor. So we have those kinds of things for both dogs and something for cats now. And then, of course, we have the nutritional side of things, which also has food in there, and multimodal non-pharmacologic, such as the Assisi loop and shockwave therapy and laser therapy and hydrotherapy. So there's really good combinations that we use to help address pain. There's other ones, too, that are out there that I could mention. But again, you can talk to your veterinarian about which ones are work good for you, for your dog or cat. And why I will say is that it's not a one-size-fits-all. And I recently experienced this myself. I don't know if you know this. I currently have a herniated disc, and it's one of the most excruciating things I've ever experienced in my life for pain. I don't realize it. I'm literally a dachshund, is what I tell everybody now. I feel. Yeah. And like when they were trying to get my pain under control, they said, well, this is what works for most, but I said, it didn't work for me. And so once you found that sweet spot, it really does. Like, I'm good to go. My surgery is next week and all that stuff, which is good. But I feel the same way for our pets. So when pet parents start chiming in on Facebook and message groups like, oh, your dog needs to be on this non-steroid, it's a game changer for my dog. Well, it may not be for somebody else's dog. So I need you all to recognize that, you know, that's the beauty behind the variety that we have in veterinary medicine. And sometimes it takes time, but we'll get there. We'll find that perfect way to help manage their pain.
I have an 18-year-old cat, and you have to sing her name. It's not like girlfriend. She was going to totally ignore you. You have to say it with purpose. You have to sing it.
You do it the other way too. You'd be like, friend. Would she answer? Or have you tried?
I have not, because I think it would scare me. No, I think my husband would be like, constipated? What do you do though?
Might give you a probiotic.
But he still hops baby gates and onto counters. Like, she thinks she's a 10-year-old cat. But I think Silencia was big in the cat world for arthritis, because there just wasn't a lot of options for them. She rules the south, by the way.
How it's supposed to be. I think the roosters overtook us from that one.
Right.
And I hate them. Can I ask a question? I don't mean to like throw you a curveball. How do you, as someone who is a little bit more well-known from your social media aspect, like, how do you handle differences in opinion between vets? You know, when someone asks you a question, gets your opinion, and then they say, well, my vet said something different. How do you handle that when there's so many opinions?
Great question about that too, because I go live on TikTok almost every night answering pet owner questions. And I've been doing it for 5 years too. I know. Yeah.
So you think on your feet.
No, I think I need to. This is why I've said being media trained is great, because they throw you curveballs to see how you react to things. And it's like, I always say there's nothing that can throw me in terms of an interview question, because I'm used to it, let's just say, which I enjoy. I love it. It's a rough. But it's a great question. And the fact is that you answer all these questions with humility, grace, and respect. And I always support, and I always preface this too by supporting the veterinarian, because somebody will put in the chat, well, my veterinarian recommended this. I was like, that's fantastic. That's excellent. I support your veterinarian's decision. I will never, unless something is so out of left field, and I can only remember one time when I heard something about diatomaceous earth is better than using NexGard and Simparica Trio for killing fleas.
I've heard that recently too.
Yeah. I was like, that just makes me clench my pearls. And so there are certain things that, and I was like, well, my veterinarian recommended that. I was like, well, unless you have maybe like an integrative, I could see maybe the angle on that. But, you know, the science behind that is not the strongest. And so, you know, what kills dogs is like flea bite anemia and hookworms and all those things that we could see from not protecting them against intestinal parasites. But yeah, I always support the veterinarian. I think from being in the space, and again, my clients at DVM 360 are all veterinarians and technicians. So I would never want to disrespect them because, listen, we've all been there. Like, we've been either the second opinion veterinarian or the first opinion veterinarian. And I never want to throw anybody on the bus. What does that achieve, basically? You know what I mean? I'm not better than anyone else. It's just like, maybe we have a different perspective. And that's what I share is like, listen, this is how I feel. I preface this. This is what I think. This is what may work for my animals and might work for you. But always consult with your vet. My call to action, as you see in my videos, and I say it on my live stream, is check with a veterinarian. And why do I do that? Because the veterinarian is the true subject matter expert or technician as well. Veterinarian technician, but it should be going back. And my whole goal by having the social media presence is I want the veterinary team to be part of the story, not around it. And so they may not have a veterinarian. Countless times I've had vets at conferences come up to me and be like, thank you. My clients found me because of you from being on TikTok, realizing that they need to have a veterinarian. And I said, yes, you're welcome. And so I feel like it's helping move the needle in establishing a veterinary client-patient relationship.
Yeah.
That's really great. That's a good one.
I think that's also part of the reason they call it practicing medicine. It's because there's just no one right answer to everything. But
there's no one right answer. And, you know, sometimes I call it perception deception. Maybe things weren't communicated effectively on either end, potentially. But I say this, and you'll appreciate this, ladies, because I really wholeheartedly mean this when I say this on the TikTok Live, is that I say, do me a favor. It's 2025. We're all adults in this room, this virtual room that we're in. If you have an issue with somebody in veterinary medicine or in life in general, do me a favor. You pick up the phone and you call. You don't go on social media. You don't bash them out, them a negative review. You want to hear your side of the things. And I guarantee you, and I say this all the time, I 99.9% guarantee you that you'll be heard. You may disagree on a couple things, but you'll be heard and you will walk out that door with respect. No one is going to disrespect you unless you throw their shade and disrespect at us. There's no reason to have that toxic relationship and it's best to go elsewhere. But you will be heard and validated if you pick up the phone and call. Listen, I'm upset and express how you feel. I feel like my opinion didn't matter. I'm upset with you, Dr. Crispin, because you said this, that, and the other thing. Let's talk it out, talk through it versus blah, 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 blah. And what happens? You get all these other people that try to come in and have no idea what the situation is about. And words matter. Mental health and veterinary medicine is so important. And so I really want to take away that stigma, if you will, of, I just want to say, get off.
We're all inside here.
Right. We entered our profession with our hearts more so than the pet owners because we dedicate our lives to their animals. We dedicate our entire lives, our career, our livelihood. And so we, by no means would we have any malicious intent to be disrespectful and awful to either the pet or the owner.
I said it before, but I've not met anybody in this industry where I'm like, why did you become a veterinarian or why do you work in this field? And they're like, because I want to mess some stuff up. You know what I mean? They're always like, because I want to help animals or because I like animals or I want, not as often do you hear because I want to help people because a lot of them think they get in this field because they like animals more than people. Surprise, you deal with them just as much. And I think when you go straight to a social media source with your grievances, it doesn't give the people in that business the chance. I mean, we're trained in, you know, dealing with conflict or dealing with grievances and those kind of things. And that muscle's getting weak because people aren't bringing them to you anymore for you to help them come up with a solution. They're just attacking you online.
And what that does after working 13 hours a day for 50, 60-hour shifts, even 40 hours, and you're dealing with that kind of atmosphere over and over again, it becomes exhausting. And I'm speaking on behalf of the veterinary professionals. When you're hearing that over and over again, that's when you hear, where did my veterinarian go? Why did my veterinary technician leave the profession? She got burnt out. Well, part of it is because of those components that we could easily ameliorate and rectify had we have a great conversation versus, you know, bashing in social media thing. Because it really does shame and ruin, like can ruin lives, you know? So we don't need that in this day and age. We really don't.
We have what we may consider more sensitive, fragile relationships. And I'm always the first one to jump in and be like, I'll take that appointment because...
Yes, you do.
It literally...
Listen, she's really good at making angry people happy. So,
my favorite skill.
There was this guy, he had a cat that has
eosinophilic keratitis, which is an ongoing thing, but because he had it so badly, so I don't know how well you're familiar with this disease, but the doctor had wanted to put the cat on steroids, but because the cat had such bad ulcers, they were afraid that the steroids were going to make the ulcers worse before they made the EK better. So it was a delicate balance. And this guy was just always unhappy, like was always angry at us. And then there was one day he came in and I was just like, "Ooh, I just let you know, here's the history. I'm sorry." And she's like, "I got you." And she just walked up, started chatting with him. And by the end, he was not just like talking to us, but he was like smiling and laughing, and he thanked us as he left. And that's the first time he's ever done that in probably 6 visits.
I always like to start with a little bad joke. In this case, the CK was something like, "We're going to hop into room 2. You can walk, but hopping's preferred." And he like stopped and looked, and I was like, "Yeah, that's why I'm in vet med, because it turns out I'm not really that funny." And they just kind of went from there. And while I was rinsing like the stain out of the eyes to do the fluorescein stain test, I was like, "All right, I'm just going to waterboard you for a second." And he cracked up. I was like, "That wasn't even my gold material. That was humor is important, as you know, in the vet field. I don't know if I could get through the day without it." When I got hired on, I don't think the doctor necessarily was ready for me. And lo and behold, I'm unhinged most of the time. And it actually wound up working out for him. And he's kind of loosened up a little bit because of it. So I'm not about changing myself and being, I have to live with who I am at the end of the day, you know. When I heard you speak and you were throwing in your little jokes, when you were talking about when you look at your pictures of your dachshunds and you start laughing, I was like, this guy gets it. I just knew that you were the right kind of personality.
I get it. Yes. That's what I said. I need a lactation station. I got to go pump.
All right. Let's do our last review. So this one is for dachshund Band-Aid.
I love it so much. That's so cute.
I bet he has these.
I would get those. I bet he has those. Let's do the one that most people probably know. Slink from Toy Story.
Slinky dog, all coiled up.
I love to sling. All right. For Slink, it is a 1-star review. And it says, "Horrible Band-Aid. It's impossible to open unless you get scissors. And even then, hard to open." Can't even open them with scissors. I have these Band-Aids, actually. And they're not.
Are they hard to open even with scissors?
No, they're not. You just cut the little...
Are we sure this is a human reviewing and not a dog that does not have a posable thumb?
Well, it's a slinky toy that is trying to open them. Oh, that would probably be difficult. "This is the worst Band-Aid I've ever used. Usually Band-Aids open easily from the ends and paper wrapping is uneven so you can pull one side down to get the Band-Aid. Easy. Not so with these Band-Aids. Where was the quality assurance people? They sure failed on these Band-Aids. I will never buy them again. Had to throw them out. They're useless."
Aww.
Probably because he can't get to them.
Probably because he doesn't have opposable thumbs.
Right.
This weasel dog.
If he gets our product from one of our previous episodes, the Pet-tastic hands, I think they were, with the opposable thumbs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all he
And that won't be a problem. See, that product has its uses.
It's very important, especially if you need to put a Band-Aid on.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. We had a great time with Dr.
When's Homecoming is really what I need to know. I need to have my song. I'm so excited about it.
It'll be at the end of the episode. I attach it to the end. Please go check them out on all the social medias. It was really good to have you on. Do you want to plug your social media for us?
Yeah, hold on. Do re mi fa so la ti do. No, thank you. My website is dradamchrisman.com, Dr. Adam Chrisman. And then, of course, Instagram, Adam_Chrisman. There are many. I think there's over 100 Adam Chrisman accounts that people make up of me, which is fun. That's when you know you made it.
No one's ever done that about me, so.
They will now after that. And TikTok is Dr. Adam Chrisman 52, dr.adamchrisman52. And then Facebook, Adam Chrisman and The Adam Chrisman Show. and YouTube channel, The Dr. Crispin Show. God, I'm annoying.
At least you're easy to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. This has been so fun.
Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rory.
And then you can find our social media in our show notes. Oh, yeah. And check out our personalized AI song for Dr. Crispin.
He seemed very excited about that song. I'm really excited to hear it.
Did I miss anything in our outro? I don't even remember.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Okay, bye.
I've been going round town. I've been doing all the things that I'm used to doing to unwind. I was just out with my dogs. I was taking all their pictures. I was uploading all online. Dogs just a way of thinking. I live in a rotation. It's just what I've been chasing for a long, long time.
See if I got this in the right alpha.
Dickie's in a lineup.
Here goes.
Copone, Connor, Carl. Like a boomerang. It's like you're all still here. Let me show them what's straying. Number one is Capone, disguised in a bow tie. Swagger in his hips and got them pitiful eyes. My second dog is Clark, is Adam's middle son. So clever that Adam changed the spelling just for fun. Clinical faced, Connor's number three. The laurel to my hearty, yeah, that's me. My favorite dog of all, and the last one's called Carl, right?
No,
that's me.
That's him.
I can doctor your dog. I'm the Joe Blogs with the laptop. I'm the Dr. Dre with docs. I still make TikToks with dogs online. And that's why Dr. Adams, what they call me. A four-legged family. This overflow of love is just a mighty fine way of life. I'm the small dog father. A dog's perspective is a revelation. Love from a dog is medication. The doc is in cause there's work to do. Book me now or later. Book me now or later. I'm your heart rate accelerator. Book me now or later. I'm Dr. Adam, the transformer. I'm Dr. Adam.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.